Who has ever sat at a dark window looking out upon the gleaming, darkling crest of that old Edinburgh with the crown of St. Giles hovering over it in the blue and the castle halfway up to heaven without feeling something weird and mystical beyond words in the call of the bugle, sudden, sweet and penetrating out of the clouds? What Edgar had to do after the call of this bugle was no deed of high emprise. He had no princess to rescue, no dragon to kill. He got up with that half laugh at himself and his own fancies, which was habitual to him, and paid his bill, and collected his few properties, and went to the railway. Spring was moving in the air above and in the earth below and around him. It was small wonder, then, that he suddenly flung down his brush on the floor, said, "Bother!" and "Oh, blow!" and also "Hang spring cleaning!" and bolted out of the house without even waiting to put on his coat. The headmistress, Miss Carr, made us begin our morning routine, drinking a bottle of whole milk. I hated milk, especially when it was warm, which it always was. Linda Malkin, the cleverest girl in my class, leaned over and, with great pleasure, whispered that I was going to hell for praying to Jesus because I was Jewish. I didn't know what hell was, but from the look on her face, I knew I didn't want to go there. On the first day after a horrific chronicle of events, which filled several pages with paragraphs and snapshots, he read a story about a father and a daughter, a girl of 15. It was narrated as though it were a matter of course, and even rather moving. Next day, in the same paper, he read a story about a father and a son, a boy of 12, and the girl was mixed up in it again. On the following day, he read a story about a brother and a sister. Next day, the story was about two sisters. On the fifth day, he hurled the paper away with a shudder and said to Sylvian Cohn, "But what's the matter with you all? Are you ill?" In the herring fishing, which is the chief industry amongst the Western Isles, the boats come largely from the east side of Scotland and are manned by the stalwart and active seamen of the shores of the Moray Firth and other parts of the coast. In boyhood, I used sometimes to assist at a burning of the water, when all the shepherds, poachers and idlers of the district assembled to take part in the fun and excitement of spearing salmon or grilse. Late one evening, Danica's father approached me. Middle height, with receding dark hair and a yellow-gold ring supporting a very large red stone on his left hand, he shimmered power. "You drive, young man?" "Yes, sir." "I'm Pierce Montgomery, sir. I've been here a few months." "Montgomery, you say?" He studied my face as one might survey a prize racehorse for sale. He looked interested, impressed even.